This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Chuang and Chen Li. Now, in about a month's time, Johorians will be going to the polls as the Election Commission has set the polling day for March 12th. Candidate nominations are slated for February 26th, while early voting will be held on March 8th. And the campaign period will be for 2 weeks until midnight on March the 11th.
This will be the first election since the gazettement of the Undi 18 and also automatic voter registration, which adds up 750,000 new young voters to the electoral roll of 2.6 million voters. But meanwhile, immediately after the EC announcement, Muda announced that it will contest the Johor polls as a strategic partner of Pakatan Harapan.
So following negotiations between the parties, Amanah and DAP have agreed to allocate Muda 6 seats, while PKR has said that it will give Muda 3 seats, though which ones have not been finalised yet. So we're actually seeing some progress, some movement, some developments on this. Will this strategy work for the opposition? Will Muda be able to gain support on the ground? So for some insights into this, we have with us Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research. Dr. Azmi, good morning. Thanks for very much for joining us today. Let's start with the news about Muda and Pakatan Harapan. PKR, Amanah and DAP have agreed to give some seats to Muda after what appear to be some lengthy negotiations. And Muda is joining Pakatan Harapan as a strategic partner rather than as a member of the coalition. Do you think this is a wise strategy? And what do you make of Muda's chances at the seats that have been given to them?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting because Muda has no history of their power to attract voters. But again, I think, as you mentioned, the Undi 18, 700,000 new voters plus the 18 and 21 years old, I think that the strategy is Pakatan Harapan hoping that Muda can attract some of these new 700,000 new voters, unless these 700,000 new voters went out to the vote, because we have to remember the 700,000 not only consists of the 18 and 21 years old, but also consists of those who never registered to vote. So whether they will go out is something else.
Yeah, and Doc, how do you think the entry of Muda will do? Will sit with, you know, the PKR, Amanas and DAPs of this world? Do you think there'll be a smooth partnership?
Well, that's going to be interesting to see, because for Muda to be offered, I think, 9 seats at the latest, I think the negotiation between Amanah and DAP and PKR came in later. But from the 6 seats that were offered by Amanah and DAP, 4 of the seats are Bersatu seats that won during GE14. I think these 4 seats are winnable seats for Pakatan Harapan, and Muda also is in a good position. I think it's a good move by Pakatan Harapan to accept Muda, but whether it will work or not is something to be seen in the coming election.
Warisan has yet to decide to make their peninsular debut in Johor. Do you think they should give this state election a chance, or better to hold off for GE15?
If they don't have any partner, for Semenanjung partner, I think Warisan should take a back seat first. They should not and must not venture into Johor without a Semenanjung partner. Because as we see it, Warisan is basically the Semenanjung people, and this includes the Johor voters, sees Warisan as a Sabah-based party. So they need a partner. And any partner that left currently is basically Muda is out of question, and Perjuang is only option for Warisan for them to venture in Johor.
I want to circle back to Muda, Dr. Azmi, and just ask you about what you make of their brand recognition on the ground. I understand that they're not campaigning under the Pakatan Harapan logo. They'll be using their own logo. Do you think that they'll be able to make a splash in these state elections?
I think so. They will, because Muda has been gaining a lot of traction on the ground, not campaigning, but through their social activism. And I think new voters, especially the 18 and 21 years of age, I think they can relate to Muda. Their idealism, their political idealism is very similar to Muda. And Syed Saddiq is synonymous to Muda, and Syed Saddiq is synonymous to Johor also. So I think, yes, they can make attraction, but how big the traction is, how strong the traction is, it is something to be seen as yet.
Yeah, this is very interesting observation from you, Doc. And of course, there's a lot of new faces in the Muda lineup, even potentially the daughter of Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew, the owner of Country Heights. What do you think of this interesting approach to their lineup in terms of not having any legacy or people with legacy issues in the lineup?
Yeah, it's true that voters like me, for example, I'm considered a very old voter, and I'm going to vote in Perling very soon, come March 12. But I think voters need some new faces, as you mentioned, with no liability, even though they are not tested. But the most important thing is that they are active on the ground before this. Do not put a candidate that are not known to the people on the ground, then you'll be in trouble. But again, I think voters will appreciate this new kind of candidates without any liabilities, without any attachment to a big political parties. I think this is a new kind of political scenario that I think most voters are really hoping for.
And what do you think of the other new parties like Parti Bangsam Malaysia or Parti Perjuang Tanah Air? Do you think they will gain any ground if they choose to contest?
Perjuang announced that they will contest at least 42 seats. And yesterday, press conference, Perjuang leader in Johor said, don't belittle us, because a lot of belittling Perjuang because they have no traction, no influence in Johor. But again, I'm quite worried because they are using Tun Dr. Mahathir as their pull attraction. And as we know, Tun Dr. Mahathir and you put Johor together, there are some sensitive issues. Tun Dr. Mahathir, in terms of national level, I think that is good. But at the Johor level of trying to pull attraction, I think it shouldn't be gunning for Tun Dr. Mahathir alone. So for Perjuang, I think they'll be having trouble in Johor if they are contesting 42 seats. And also for PBBM, Parti Bangsa Malaysia, nothing much as yet. I don't think so they'll be venture in Johor very soon.
And Dr. Azmi, I mean, we're now starting to see the opposition come together with MUDA joining Pakatan Harapan as a strategic ally. Within PH itself, the coalition parties have sorted out their logo issues, and we may see a united front ahead of the elections. Do you think that this is going to be enough to pose as a serious threat to Barisan Nasional, especially UMNO, seeing that UMNO is going into these elections with a perceived advantage?
Yes, I think it will be a good challenge for UMNO. It will be a run of money for UMNO. But, well, as you mentioned, the opposition are getting together, but the opposition is only MUDA, not Perjuang, or if Warisan want to venture, it's not Warisan yet. But again, within Pakatan Harapan itself, Amanah and DAP using their own logo, PKR using their own logo, MUDA using their own logo. And one more important thing that I think Pakatan Harapan as the opposition has been quite behind Barisan Nasional is their Menteri Besar designate. They hasn't announced yet. I think a few days ago, PKR announced Sheikh Omar, but I think it's been turned down. I think a lot of them don't agree with Sheikh Omar. I think, yes, the opposition currently with MUDA in view, they are seems to be united, but I think that is just not enough to unseat Barisan Nasional.
Yeah, and talk about this, you know, this BNPN alliance, right? Even within that context, you've got this rivalry between UMNO, Bersatu and PAS that seems to be heating up. So how do you think the Johor elections will shape up with these little tensions going on? And will that prove to be a litmus test for the broader GE15?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting question, because if Melaka is not enough to demonstrate that Barisan, Perikatan and I would say the three parties, I mean UMNO, Bersatu and PAS, if Melaka result is not enough to show that they must be as one team, I'm hoping that Johor will demonstrate and will force these three parties to come together. Because they need, if they want to form a strong federal government, they need a strong mandate from Semenanjung. because from Sarawak, I'm sure GPS will have more than 18 seats what they have currently now. Sarawak has 33 seats, so most probably they will be gaining for that particular seat. So I think Johor will, I hope, will demonstrate that there's no other way. Come GE15, UMNO, Bersatu and PAS will need to work out something. If Muda can work out something, I'm sure these three major parties can work out something.
Dr. Azmi, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Dr. Azmi Hassan, Senior Fellow at the Nusantara Academy for Strategic Research, giving us some early insights into what we can expect from the political dynamics on the ground. And, you know, given that we now know when the Johor State elections will be held.
Yeah, and just in the context, you know, more laterally speaking, in terms of getting a Semenanjung mandate, did you guys see the most read story on the Vibes, a letter from Yusof Hashim, the septuagenarian, open letter to my PM, lamenting the use of race and religion as a divisive factor to win elections in Malaysia, continuing to separate Malaysians of all colour and stripe. Not a good thing for us in the long term because we're only 32 million people. You know, I just get the sense that, you know, these elections will just be another, you know, opportunity for the politicians to further divide Malaysians, to just to get an election mandate. It will. It might get them the mandate. I hope, you know, I hope the Undi 18 folks will step up and make themselves heard and push for a more united front. But I'm not sure. You know, jury is out.
I think there is a lot of fatigue when it comes to the politics of this country. We've been in 2 years in a kind of limbo and a back and forth, and it's a tough situation to be in, for sure. But that I think it's still important for us to pay attention to policy issues and vote based on who we think can best lead the country. The vote is still in our hands, essentially.
Yes, and I think a few people has already mentioned about new faces, which is something that we are still looking forward to, but we haven't heard so far.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.